Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. This has been a lot about looking ahead, what the Steelers' strategy should be, injury-wise and all of that. How close to the line does somebody need to be before you say, I'm not risking him this week? There's way bigger games ahead. But let's look back one last time at this Eagles game. And by the way, I'm not buying, like I heard Kevin Burkhardt and so many of the callers and everybody else, oh, that game didn't mean anything yesterday. Really? Because if you win that game, then all of a sudden this game becomes much less important. You really set yourselves up to win the division no matter what happens against the Ravens. With an injured T.J. Watt and Pickens and all the other injuries. You win that one, you're set up beautifully. Like, why is all the emphasis on this game? Because you're actually playing the Ravens? You can still win the division even if you don't beat the Ravens. You could have put yourself in position to win this division easily if you had won yesterday. I think there's this thing like, oh my God, it is the Ravens in Baltimore. That's the game. Well, not really. Yes, you can clinch it now. You can, but you wouldn't even have been in a position where you had to win if you won yesterday's game. More to the point, you'd still be in the conversation for the number one seed if you won yesterday's game. Not to mention the game in Cleveland a few weeks back. Because Kansas City might be going into this Houston game without Mahomes. Them without Mahomes, with Carson Wentz, they're barely winning games anyway. I think they're going to lose to Houston without Mahomes. So you go in and you win Philly, you win Baltimore, then all of a sudden Kansas City's coming to you. You have a chance to move ahead of them in the seedings. The mentality of, oh, you know, this game didn't even mean anything. Who cares? I'm not with that. However, I'm also the guy prioritizing health over all of this. Anyway, let's get back to Ray Fittipaldo and his grades from yesterday. Would you be willing to engage in a game of grading the Steelers?
I would love to.
Oh, Limitless Wonder? Let's go. He gives Russell Wilson a C. Didn't get much help from his receivers. He had his worst outing as a Steeler, 14 for only 128 yards. Constantly in third and long, was put in a lot of unfavorable circumstances, didn't elevate the offense. I thought a C was, I mean, you just said he had his worst game, Ray. Come on. He's a D, maybe a D plus for me. Certainly not a C. about for you?
He receives a C- for me. I just felt like this was a huge game for Russell Wilson to prove himself. Like, if he took the extra step and won this game, it would have been the wow factor with Wilson, and he didn't do it. He didn't go the extra mile for me in this game, and he didn't really play well.
No, he took a horrible sack near the end of the first half. I think he was okay, and yes, he was working under difficult circumstances. I get it, but he also, from the pocket, had a number of passes deflected, which can be the problem when you're hanging in the pocket against a team with a bunch of monsters on their defensive line. And you're 6 feet tall, you're going to get passes knocked down. He didn't play well in this game. He just didn't. So that's a very generous grade by our friend Ray, who's usually a very tough grader. Yeah, I'm giving Russ a D plus for that game. Their pass game, the pass game that they brought to Philly was JV. And it underscored the importance of Pickens. And yes, Russ was unable to elevate them in Pickens' absence. Maybe nobody could. Maybe that's not fair. But we know he can't. And then Justin Fields comes in and has one of their most important plays of the game. And he wound up getting hurt on that play. We're going to grade the officiating too here. Oh, limitless wonder.
They get an E. You know what an E is? When we were in grade school at Catholic grade school at St. E's, they felt bad for putting an F, so instead they would put an E.
Wasn't that nice of them?
Yeah.
We'll get to them later. Running backs, have we all seen enough of the tosses to Najee Harris? Yes. We talked about that in the first segment today. Erase that from your book, Artie. And I might add, before we get to the coaches, but this is relatable here, that in their five games against teams in playoff position, so you could actually say the Steelers have played five good teams this season. Guess what they're averaging on offense, points per game. If you come within a point, they'll treat you to dinner.
22.
Wrong. 18.2.
Ugh.
They stink. They stink against good teams offensively. Sorry, that's a fact. And the one team they really had a good game against, Washington, they put up 28. They may not be a playoff team very soon. So I agree with Ray. Get rid of this pitch play, not just because of the fumble, because it's a bad play for him. Harris had perhaps his worst game in four seasons with the Steelers, 14 yards on six carries. Warren and Cordell Patterson weren't much better. They get an F. I agree. Limits, that's an F.
100% they get an F, and I am tired of seeing Cordarrelle Patterson. He just does not have the speed and burst anymore. I mean, if you're going to use him in the passing game, maybe it's a different story, but you cannot utilize him as a runner late in games.
Yeah, I'm not really into giving messages to veteran players that you think are the guy like Tomlin thinks of Najee Harris. He fumbled, okay. It sucked, I get it. Do you take the quarterback out when he throws a horrible interception? You bench him? I don't know. And bring in Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, he actually had, an effective player too, but too many pitch plays, too much Cordarrelle for my taste. Those are two areas in which Artie Smith doesn't look great this year. Receivers also get an F. He talked about life without George Pickens. He talked about Mike Williams. He talked about a lot of things. They get an F, yes?
Again, George Pickens made himself a lot of money by showing his value to the Steelers. They definitely get an F.
I'll say. And we didn't talk about Omar Khan enough today. I meant to open with him and the injuries, and I forgot to mention him. He did a bad job fortifying the receivers beyond Pickens. He did a bad job, and a good team could pay dearly for him falling short in the receiver position. Tomlin spoke out of turn last week against Cleveland. It was only the Browns, as Bob Pompiani would say. When he told the world, you all got it wrong. Y'all got it wrong on the backup receivers beyond Pickens. They're actually good. Is somebody going to finally listen to me?
Remember? You know, it's what we've been kind of discovering or rediscovering throughout every component of this process. You know, you guys were asking us about our lack of, quote unquote, a number two in team development. And the guys made plays. Whoever we throw the ball to makes plays. The strength of the pack is the pack. We got a bunch of guys that want to be the reasons why we're successful. And when given an opportunity, I think they continually prove that, whether it's Scotty or Mike or Calvin or whoever, Van. We believe in our group. I know I've said that to you guys repeatedly. Maybe you'll start believing me.
Maybe I won't. And I said that last week, too. Last week was an infomercial for George Pickens. You were just lucky that you were playing the Browns. This week, against a real team, against a good team, you brought a JV passing game to the stadium. Omar Khan left you short, and you can mock that if you're the head coach, and mock the idea of, oh, a number two receiver. Everybody thinks we lack a number two. We'll show you by the strength of the pack. Your receivers stink beyond Pickens. Omar Khan failed miserably beyond Pickens. Okay? That's a fact. They've gotten a little more out of Calvin Austin. Nobody fears Calvin Austin. And the other guys, should I even mention? I mean, you traded for Mike Williams. He's never open, obviously, and has made one play since he got here. He can still be a 50-50 guy. Like, if you're healthy and you have Williams as an option, you know, as a pinch hitter, that's great. If you need him in your lineup as an everyday hitter, you're in trouble, and they're in trouble. That was that the receiving core that they put out yesterday, I'd be willing to argue, was the worst in all of football. Strictly receivers. The worst in all of football. Omar didn't get it done there. And that could still prove very, very costly to this team and really cost them their season because it's a passing league and they finished the game with 107 yards passing. Their best play was a lucky flea flicker. Wasn't even open. Wasn't even schemed open. Austin did make a nice play there. He's a nice three or four. You don't have a two. You have nothing beyond Pickens. So you can say all you want, I told you so. You said it too early, and that got proven yesterday. And if Pickens doesn't play again, I don't think you're going to get 20 points in Baltimore either.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Offensive line, an F. Limits?
F. That was my main concern coming into this game because Philadelphia is just so good up front on both ends of the line. And they got beat up. They did. Even some of their better players on that line, Frazier McCormick, they got beat up.
Yeah, they were facing a team that was physically superior to them. The Eagles have a better quarterback, better running back, better receivers, better offensive line, better defensive line than the Steelers. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Maybe the defensive line you could argue, but I don't know that I would. Those guys are absolute monsters all the way across. The Steelers have the edge in edge rushing, for sure. I think they might have that on everybody in the league, and that's a big deal. But yeah, the offensive line got beaten to a pulp. And so did the Steelers' defense. As Chris Hoke put it on the post game with part-time Pomp last night, he said, I don't think that may have never happened in Steeler history, where a team got the ball with 10 and a half minutes left and just shoved it. Wow.
And they didn't even score on the drive.
They didn't have to.
It was just a kill clock drive.
They did something. They did something more humiliating than scoring. They knelt on the ball 10 and a half minutes later. Defensive line, he gives a D. He said Hayward had five tackles, drew a hold, but the other guys didn't do much. Would you agree?
I give him a D plus, maybe a C minus, because I think they did a decent job containing Saquon Barkley, but it allowed for the passing game to be opened up.
Yeah, and then they got pounded at the end of the game. They get an F. Linebackers, TJ spectacular before he left. Highsmith pretty good, eight tackles and a sack. Inside linebackers not as good, he said. Patrick Queen. Was he the one that whiffed on Gainwell?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Him and Joey Porter on 3rd and 9.
Yeah, I got to give them a C to a C minus. Ray gave him a C minus.
I give him a C.
You know, I thought they were altering the sort of nature of the game there at the end of the first half. My God, if Watt, I don't know how Hurts didn't fumble, but if that's a fumble too, unless Tomlin screws up the end of the half, they may go in tied. And everything could have been different, I guess. The secondary gets an F. I agree.
Yeah, they get an F. I mean, Joey Porter concerns. And James Pierre, I don't think James Pierre is that good. I know he had an interception last week.
Is there anybody on the planet Earth who does?
Mike Tomlin.
Well, other than him?
Mike Tomlin does. He works really hard.
So do I.
So do washing machines.
I mean, they're in trouble in the secondary.
You didn't like that reference to Christmas Vacation?
I do like that. Not everybody has the Eagles receivers. I get that, but I don't think this is the back end of this defense, especially with Elliott missing. The corner position doesn't impress me. I'm sorry, it just doesn't.
And the backup corners especially don't impress me. But the Porter is taking a step back.
Josh Allen doesn't even have good receivers. What would he do to that secondary? And the way you mitigate that is your edge rush. I get it. Can you imagine if they didn't have the kind of pass rush they have from the outside? What happened to these corners?
I think Buffalo is the one team in the AFC that they cannot beat. Especially if it's in Buffalo, they're not going to win.
Special teams gets a B. How about for you there?
Yeah, I feel like they were decent in kick coverage. I mean, every time Philadelphia returned it, they got out to the 30, which is basically the starting point. Corliss Waitman's done a nice job. He had one shaky punt. And then Chris Boswell, obviously, knocking in field goals. They were the best unit out of anyone.
Yeah, they were okay. I give them a C plus, B minus, whatever. They did get – that was a nice play by Mark Robinson. They gave up a couple decent returns, I thought, and they had a couple short punts, so it wasn't a great day. Coaching, Mike Tomlin, Ray Fittipaldo writes, butchered the end of the first half with some of the worst clock management you'll ever see. He gives them an F. You?
I give him a D minus.
What saves it from an F, pray tell?
Well, there's a fine line between a D minus and an F, and it's not that.
Squashing grapes and
drinking wine. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, maybe it should be an F. Yes. Because you know what was, we haven't talked about today that was just so impactful, and I think what lost them the game. There were four things that lost them the game. Obviously, Najee, the terrible tackling, and the two turnovers in the first half where Philadelphia hands you a turnover inside, the 20-yard line on the punt that they muffed, and Jalen Hurts on a fumble. They're giving you 14 points, and you only score 3 off of it. They gave them points. And they would not take it.
Someone telling me, Tomlin told you what he's going to do. Limits is correct. Don't go on one of your angry tirades. So because Tomlin says his strategy for this Baltimore game injury-wise, that makes it right? Or we're not supposed to argue? What? Where was I? Tomlin was horrible in the game yesterday. Horrible. That butchering of the clock at the end of the first half, Ray Fittipaldo is right. He a half minute lost on the clock for no reason?
This happens multiple times per season. How do they not have just to manage the clock?
Not to this degree. And clock management, other people screw it up too. But you just stand there while a half a minute runs off the clock with less than 2 minutes left in the first half, maybe costing you a chance at a touchdown. And then you give this explanation? Do you have his explanation for that yesterday? I don't know that he expounded upon this today, but it was It was just senseless. I have no idea what he's talking about.
You know, I got caught up, man, in some information, and I'll just leave it at that.
Information.
I don't get that. Did somebody hand him an encyclopedia that he suddenly became enamored with?
Like the Malzi Encyclopedia?
The history of, I don't know, the history of paper making? What information? What information was important in his entire world at that point, other than how much time's on the clock and how can we get the ball back and maximize that?
Maybe the refs were talking to him, like the friendly conversation that Tomlin had with the refs earlier in the game that was caught on camera.
That was as bad as you'll ever see. And then his decision to punt from the Philly 46 on 4th and 7 with 10:40 remaining, down 2 touchdowns to a team that you couldn't stop. Jalen Hurts was dicing him up. What are you doing? Like, I thought we played without fear. We don't live in our fears around here. We're swashbucklers. We're lone rangers. We do things other teams don't do. You're punting from the other team's territory down 2 touchdowns to a team you can't stop? Well, he got what he deserved. The Steelers never saw the ball again. Surrender Index 90 measures these things. They measure cowardly punts, they call them. Does this website or this Twitter site says with a surrender index of 16.5, that punt ranked in the 98th percentile of cowardly punts this season and the 95th percentile of all cowardly punts since 1999. And you know what the other guy did? The other coach? And a lot of people thought going into this game that the Steelers had the big edge in the coaching matchup, even though the other guy just went to the Super Bowl and has won playoff games lately. The other coach didn't live in his fears. When he got the ball, he let Jalen Hurts, even in the face of T.J. Watt and Highsmith and Hayward and everybody else, drop back to throw in the shadow of his own goal line. He was the guy playing to win. The Steelers coach was the guy playing it safe. And like I said, he got what he deserved. 10.5 minutes of the Steelers shoving the football in the Steelers' faces and kneeling on it at the end. Not that the game matters. Nobody cares. It didn't mean anything anyway, I guess. That's what I keep hearing, even from the guy calling the game on Fox, which I don't understand. The refereeing. Coaching, yeah, gets an F. And as I said, Artie's offense against playoff teams averages 18.2 points a game. And the biggest game was against Washington, and they're barely in the playoffs. I'm sorry, Jill, if that was an angry tirade. The officiating gets an F-. It was a brutally officiated game.
God, you stole my thunder. I was going to say F- as well, if that's even plausibly possible. The explanation on the Jaylen Warren getting slapped in the face, or Connor Hayward getting slapped in the face by Jaylen Carter.
Yeah.
That made no sense.
Well, they said it happened after the ball was
kicked. No, it was not. There's a clear and evident replay angle that shows that the ball went away a half a second after the slap occurred.
Okay.
The ball was not away.
I agree.
How do the referees not see that or use replay assist to see that?
Yeah, why wouldn't you use replay assist there? You saw that?
Yes.
There was
an angle,
angle that you saw where you could see the hit and the punt together?
Yes.
What kind of angle would that be? That one I honestly didn't get a great look at as far as juxtaposed with the punt. But the other ones were horrifying. Game-changing penalties, really, on both sides. The two personal foul penalties on the Steelers, at least Tomlin was right about one thing yesterday, and it was that. That should have absolutely either been offsetting or nothing. The only player to throw a punch was Darius Slay on that. And then they come out with a statement. Did you see the officiating statement after the game saying no punches were thrown?
No punches were thrown. They did not have video evidence that punches were thrown.
Either they're intentionally lying to protect their people or they're idiots. Because a punch was thrown. You can see it on video.
Like, why would they hide behind that?
I know.
When there's clear and utter evidence. It's not like, I mean, come on, you're trying to convince us that we didn't see it.
So Kevin Burkhart on the call says, wow, so they called 2 on Pittsburgh and nothing on Philly there. In comes Dean Blandino, who says, yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't something on the Eagles. Horrible. The roughing the long snapper on Montrevious Adams was a joke. He was clearly and obviously pushed into the long snapper.
Yes, he was blocked into him.
And now, roughing the long snapper is a comical call, unless it's against you. And then in comes Blandino, who says it was the correct call. Thanks, Dean. I guess you're right, except that it was incorrect. What is he looking at? Montrevious Adams was pushed into the long snapper.
If that's the case, every left guard should just push the defender into the long snapper and try to get a 15-yard penalty.
Horrible call. However, Reed Blankenship's hit on Justin Fields was also a horrible call. It's a late slide. Brady pointed it out on the telecast. Of course you're going to tackle him high. He just went low. Well, what are you supposed to do there? Terrible call. And then James Pierre got away with an absolute hip drop on A.J. Brown late in the game. Blandino said that call hasn't occurred in a game all season. Is that right?
No, it has not.
Then why is it on the books? Why is it on the books? It's to protect star players, like A.J. Brown, who got injured on the play, and it could have been way worse. That was a textbook hip drop. They stunk, the officials in this game. Horrible crew. I don't even know whose crew it was. I should have looked it up, and I apologize to you for that, Limits.
That's okay.
No, it's not.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.